So about 2,000 years ago, the Avatamsaka Sutra opened our mind. How does it do it? It does it three ways. Number one, it now systematically, it doesn't do like the Lanka Sutra, is jumping from place to place. It only used one measurement, but over 120 operations of the same measurement of length. Systematically expands the units of measurement. Doesn't talk about weight anymore. Doesn't talk about other measurement. Doesn't even talk about atoms and quantums and stuff like Lanka Sutra talked about. And it clearly elucidated those thinking force limitations. And it challenged the concept of infinity, basically abolished the whole concept of infinity for us. So these are the contributions of this great sutra. And there are still more to be desired. It did not elucidate how to transcend duality. Now there's a little difference here. We can get rid of the concept of infinity, but it doesn't clearly say you have transcended duality by doing so. The sutra doesn't say that. It just finished, right? You come to untold, finished. It did not clearly tell you that connect the dot from point number 3 to point number 4. So after that, how to attain equanimity? Buddhism always say every living being is equal. We are all one. How? Why? I'm totally different from you. How do we attain equanimity from this number counting? The sutra does not clearly explain that. In fact, there's no mention of it. So after our mind is opened up and the thinking force eliminated, how then we attain equanimity and transcend duality, which are the key teachings in Buddhism. The sutra does not clearly explain that. Next slide, please. That is why our curriculum exists. We simply use the modern science today to supplement on to build on the shoulder of giants and to supplement to move the Dharma wheel forward, to turn the Dharma wheel. In our series of lectures, we are trying to accomplish these four objectives. That is how to transcend duality. Finite and infinite is a duality. Two opposing concepts by definition, we transcend it. So after that, how then do you resolve opposite conflicts? And how to go from quality to quantity? We show we attain equanimity by going from the relative to the absolute. Okay. Now these four points are not so easy to comprehend. We'll take it slowly. Okay? So, next one. First, let's look at this. Finite, infinite. By definition, two very opposite things. By counting numbers, we dispel, we agree and understand definition. Now remember the free seed learning, number one, definition, right? No problem. We accept the world's definition. But the enlightened person go beyond understanding definition. We understand the limits of definition and we go beyond definition. Okay, that's what an open mind does for us. That's what enlightenment does for us. So, clearly, our series of lecture has, yes, we understand definition, and yes, we've gone beyond definition. We have obliterated these two as conflicting, mutually exclusive concepts. In the enlightened mind, these two opposite, mutually exclusive entities can be accommodated, can exist simultaneously, right? Now that's a breakthrough. the definition says these two are mutually exclusive. They cannot occur in the same space-time in our thinking mode. What we think today is, yes, they can occur at the same time, and they are not mutually exclusive. Right? In fact, they are equal. That's equanimity. This is not measurable. It's a qualifier. This is measurable. It's a quantity. So we go from quality to quantity. These two are relative to one another. We go from relative to absolute. What is absolute? Absolute, simply absolute. So like Jonathan said, there's no word after that. Why did you break through that box? It's absolute. Right? Because if you bring the word relative to qualify the word absolute, absolute is no longer absolute. It becomes a duality again. Right? So you have absolute versus relative. Becomes a duality. These are very fine thinking processes. Alright, any questions? Okay, next slide. So how do we resolve the world conflict? All of the human problems. How do we attain a comfortable peace of mind? How to really look at things from an equal footing, from equanimity point of view? Well, we ask ourselves, what is the biggest conflict the human mind can conceive? Any idea? Life after death. Right. Life, death. Living versus dying. That's life. There's life after death, death after life, life after death. That's this way. By looking at this way, with living and dying seems to be two opposing concepts. But if life and death is an infinite circle anyways, these two are no longer opposite. They're just the side and the back of the head together makes up the whole reality. So life goes on. You can see death goes on, right? So this is absolute. This is an absolute concept. These two are relative concepts. Once we have the absolute concept, then the relative becomes absolute. And we are able to accommodate the two in the same thinking mode. So what is the biggest conflict a human mind can conceive of?
Did you see anything different than, from your point of view, then you consider that it's a conflict, and that's what I understand.
Okay. So basically, Jesus described this whole thing. Everything that you can see, everything from the different points, the other side, right? You see one side, one viewpoint, and you look at it from another viewpoint. So that is... She's correct. She just described the whole slide for us. Well, let me make it simpler. Everything in this material, which is the biggest conflict? Yes, please come.
In the previous lectures, we used to agree with you that finite and infinite are the biggest challenges in the whole slide. Actually, after today, I think relative and absolute is even bigger than finite and infinite, which is not on the slide.
Okay. So, as you can see, when the human mind conceives of infinity, that means beyond what we can think about, okay, that, as opposed to finite, that is probably the biggest conflict the human mind can conceive of.